Rowing, she's sacrificing so that we can do this. I admire her and appreciate her so much.
Adi Barkin speaking in a clip from the new documentary Not Going Quietly, premiering this weekend in L.A., in New York, and beyond. And we want to thank Nicholas Bruckman, the film's director. That does it for today's show. Democracy Now! Is currently accepting applications for our video production fellowship and our digital fellowship here in New York City studios. The deadline is this weekend. You can learn more and apply today at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Stay safe. Wear a mask.
Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present Long Strange Trip, The History of the Grateful Dead, Saturday, August 21st at 6 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. This Grateful Dead documentary will be shown as a benefit for KBOO to celebrate 20 years of Grateful Dead and Friends on the air. This is an all-ages event, and masks are required. You can buy tickets at kboo.fm and support KBOO getting a new studio transmitter link. Again, that's Long Strange Trip, a benefit for KBOO at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland, on Saturday, August 21st at 6 p.m.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 8:01 a.m. It's Friday. Mind the gap, because we gon' bridge it. Girls are powerful. Stay tuned.
Good morning, everybody. You are listening to The Gap on KBOO Portland. It is a too hot Friday morning. And as always, I'm here. I'm Althea. Tammy is also here. She's going to say hi in just a second. And we got Sonia keeping us on the air. Terrestrial radio angel, as Tammy likes to say, our lovely engineer. Hello to you, Sonia.
Good morning.
And it's going to be a great show today. We have some pretty pressing current events that we need to get into here. How has your week been, Sonia, before we jump in there?
Well, it's been interesting. I am trying to manage a handful, an armload of concerns about trying to travel to see my family. And I wake up to a PM 2.5 reddened sunrise.
Yeah, the sun is like a pumpkin-y hue, you could almost say.
Yes, hello, it's nice to be
Tammy,
here.
Tammy, I think, can we hear you? I think that should be all right there. But yeah, the weather, and there's a whole thing happening right now with the extreme heat warning, which goes through today, I believe, and
the heat is just the worst.
It's the worst. But you know who's having a really bad week? Andrew Cromo. We're just gonna dive right in there.
Yeah, let's hit it.
I said it. I'm here. I am hot. Mm-hmm. And bothered, and I want to talk about Andrew Cuomo and what he's been up to.
Yeah, not hot and bothered in the way that Cuomo would like, though.
Oh!
Is that too much for 8 a.m.?
Whoa, where did that cut? Cheeky. Very nice. Yeah, Andrew Cuomo is having a pretty bad week.
Former New York governor.
Yes, former New York State governor.
Yeah.
And the gubernatorial seat is now going to be replaced by the first ever woman governor of New York State. But I think he's going to leave in 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's got, like, I don't know why they're giving him 2 weeks.
He got to clear out his, you know, got to clean out the office. You
two
know.
Weeks to clean out his desk, I guess. But yeah, it's following this scathing report from the state attorney's office accusing him of sexually harassing 11 women. And this has kind of, like, come to fruition over the past year or so. And wouldn't you know that sexually harassing 11 women is what got New York its first female governor. Way to go, New York. Proud of you.
This is where we're at. The report also did mention the, the elderly death that happened as a result of putting people who were in nursing homes that contracted COVID were at the hospital and then were transported back mm-hmm. to the nursing homes and caused outbreaks in the nursing homes, and the deaths were undercounted, and there was I think like 100 something pages of that as well. So it's not looking good. And I think that instead of, and I think this, a lot of people are speculating that instead of getting impeached, which was probably going to be the next step, he stepped down and resigned and will leave in 2 weeks, as we said.
Mm-hmm.
And
they might impeach him anyway, just so that he can't hold public office again.
Yeah, although people did seem to, you know, like pundits and on the news, they seem to imply that maybe that's what he's going to do. And they were really pretty, I don't know, they were kind of, I kind of have beef with the way that they were holding space for Cuomo during this time. You know, it was like, oh, this is so sad. Oh, you know, Cuomo. Oh, Cuomo. This is not. And it's like, what? You were, remember when, like, other people were caught, you know, sexually harassing people, and you were angry. You did not have any kind parting words for them. And now all of a sudden it's like, have a great summer. See you next year. You know,
yeah.
Like, what is this?
Yeah,
that's not right. It's just
they're ready to write hags in the yearbook.
Exactly. But I think we do have a bit of a resignation speech.
Yeah, we have an
piece
excerpt
of audio
from
yes.
Cuomo's resignation speech. Let's hear that.
In many ways, I see the world through the eyes of my daughters, Cara, Mariah, and Michaela. They are 26 and 26. Twins and 23. And I have lived this experience with and through them. I have sat on the couch with them, hearing the ugly accusations for weeks. I have seen the look in their eyes and the expression on their faces. And it hurt. I want my three jewels to know this. My greatest goal is for them to have a better future than the generations of women before them. It is still in many ways a man's world. It always has been. We have sexism that is culturalized and institutionalized. My daughters have more talent and natural gifts than I ever had. I want to make sure that society allows them to fly as high as their wings will carry them. There should be no assumptions, no stereotypes, no limitations. I want them to know from the bottom of my heart that I never did and I never would intentionally disrespect a woman or treat any woman differently than I would want them treated. And that is the God's honest truth. Your dad made mistakes, and he apologized, and he learned from it. And that's what life is all about. And I know the political process is flawed, and I understand their cynicism and distrust and disappointment now. But don't give it up, because government is still the best vehicle for making positive social change.
And that was former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's some of his resignation remarks. We're having a little bit of a reaction here in the studio. I pulled this clip. I don't know if Sonia and Tammy had heard it before. Do you have a reaction to that?
It goes all the way to the governor's office.
Have you guys heard about sexism?
It's institutionalized. It's culturalized.
It's so... I'm just...
I mean, these are bitter laughs.
So you know this. Yeah. And yet, I don't understand at all where...
I do.
I get the general, you know, like gist of arrogance and hypocrisy, but how is this? How does it, this? This no one's buying it, you know. Just leave. It's okay. You can leave.
There's another funny clip. I can link it on our show notes from the Late Show with Stephen Colbert, where they edited all of his remarks to say like, yes. Hello, New York. It's time to be New York tough. I sexually harassed 11 women. like, cut it so that it is
right.
Cut and dry. Instead of saying he never did anything and it hurt his daughters a lot to have you all say that he did something, but also he's made mistakes and he's really sorry.
And I apologize. I apologize. What else you want? I apologize.
I just, it's the, I could never harass somebody. I have both a mother and a child, okay? I have three daughters.
That's a particularly, I guess I'd say galling bit. It's, I mean, included in that, first that he's kind of just using his children, you know, kind of as human shields, you know, kind of deflect the political damage he's done to himself. And the implicit kind of begs the question of why of how you only care about something when it touches you personally.
Right. And like, is the implication, it's like, hey, stop saying that I sexually harassed those women, the state attorney's office who did an investigation. It's hurting their feelings. It's making my daughters look at me in a certain way, and I really would prefer if you guys stopped talking about it.
Well, that's what it comes down to. It's all about him.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually, so this like, this performative care about his children, when why didn't he see his daughters in the women that he was harassing?
Yeah, and that's what he's claiming that he does now, but.
Ugh, that's such a gross way of phrasing it.
And why does he need, and why would anyone need to have daughters to respect women?
Another solid point.
All these are, yeah, very solid point. I wonder who's the speechwriter was in that one, unless that was a Cuomo original.
It might have been.
It
wasn't a Cuomo original.
Hey,
I got some notes on this.
It
said I was sorry. I'd really like to to go more in depth about the ages of my daughters and how they looked at me when they found out that I made an unfriendly work environment for almost a dozen women, at least a dozen women.
It's
kissing and groping your coworkers not allowed in 2021 or something?
And then the whole thing of it's because I'm you know, I'm older, and I know plenty of older people who are, that's not a thing. That's not, that generalization is so disrespectful to like your peers, you know, like people your age. That's kind of like, don't blame it on age, don't blame it on, you know. I guess there's like a cultural difference, but there's a very clear line in the workplace, especially as a governor. Like you wield a pretty powerful seat, you know. Mm-hmm. This is I think one of the women that stepped forward was like an administrative, you know, kind of like beginning stages of their career. I mean, you know, again, it's these powerful and like people that take advantage of folks that are starting off, mm-hmm. and if you say anything, you know, well, good luck. You're going to get burnt in the city. You know, same thing.
Yeah.
It's like the classic DC story, you know?
Yeah. And I think just also seeing like the trajectory of like how long it's actually mm-hmm. taken, and comparing that to like who Cuomo is and what I think, you know, Democratic politics writ large kind of like expected of him, you know, because we talked about this a little bit previously about like how much he was hyped up mm-hmm. during like early coronavirus when it was really bad in New York City, and like his brother Chris Cuomo, it like works for CNN, and they're like why haven't you called mom or like whatever on the news, and people were like, we love this is so funny, and Andrew Cuomo is protecting us, he's the only one standing up to the president we had before, and that he had, you know, some kind of star power as also being from the Cuomos, which is like a
that's a very good point, thank you for bringing that up. Yeah,
a dynasty in New York politics. His dad was also the governor and had some corruption of his own. I think I listened to a podcast about it, but anyway. But yeah, like how much special kind of like leeway where it has to be nearly a dozen women and there has to be a state attorney general, a state attorney like investigation.
Right.
To get to that point.
Right. That's a good point. And it's, I think when people stand up for this kind of thing against powerful people, I mean, there was also like very clear retaliation that mm-hmm. Took place for some of the people that came forward, and then on top of it the nursing home scandal and the underreported mm-hmm. deaths that pretty much, like, I mean, there was some sort of media's reporting that,
mm-hmm.
And it really didn't gain traction until more recently. And now it's like kind of like this house of cards, and it's all collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to mention one more time the way that the, you know, just the news have been covering it, and even, you know, the president is kind of like, oh, this is sad, that's a bummer, and it's like, where's that smoke that you had for everyone else? What's up?
You know what's sad is like these women whose careers
mm-hmm.
were either stymied or ruined, or they moved to an entirely different field because of being sexually harassed by the governor of New York. But you know what? It's so sad that he got caught.
Right?
It's really sad that the people are turning on him for his crimes.
It's so
sad to see you go, buddy.
Right, exactly.
I'm so sad you won't get to argue with your little brother on the news.
Exactly. It's so gross. It's
a conflict of interest to even have him interviewing you.
I do hope that people... thank you for that, Althea. We can also, pull at the string of the journalism.
Well, and because that's the thing, not to focus too much on his brother, but like when the sexual harassment thing came out and when mm-hmm. the nursing home thing came out, so his brother Chris is on CNN, and so like interviews about COVID and how great Cuomo,
right.
the governor, was doing was like totally fine for him to do, but then all of a sudden he's like, well, it's a conflict of interest for me to be talking about my brother or doing any of this stuff. It's like, fair weather friends, if you will. I guess my solution from an editorial standpoint would be like, hey, maybe that, like, it's funny that they're brothers, maybe have them interact on like a fluffier show, like
right,
the Today Show or something. Like, don't have them doing that on like the 6 o'clock news, and then all of a sudden it's a problem if one of them ever does something wrong.
Yeah, it's setting a precedent that's kind of scary. Well, this is definitely an ongoing and developing story, and it just happened so quick, you know, it really, once, you know, this is what happens, Althea, and to all the listeners, when you have a web created out of lies, it takes one truth to just sweep it away, you know, and this is what's happening.
It's very well said.
Thank you. Woke up feeling some sort of way. It's this heat. Anywho's, we are going to go on a very, very quick musical break, and then we'll be back with part two of the program. You're listening to The Gap here on KBOO Portland.
Classroom.
Well, you are listening to The Gap on KBOO Portland. I'm Althea. Tammy's here. Sonia's here. We are moving on to the second part of our show. This is the community call-in portion of the show, so we will be taking calls in a little bit. What are we talking about? We're talking about that the Newburg School Board voted to ban the LGBTQ+ Pride flag and Black Lives Matter flags from district school buildings this week. Pretty dramatic thing to have happen. They also said in the thing that they, like, whatever they passed, they said that, like, general political displays are also banned.
That includes stickers, flags, shirts.
Yeah, but what is considered political is vague.
This is true.
Yeah.
So this is coming kind of in the backdrop of this conservative campaign titled, like, Save Our Schools or something. And the next step is to also roll back the district's,
I think it's Every Student Belongs
program.
It's a statewide thing.
Yeah.
That basically just says, hey, don't discriminate or, like, be biased against these kids should be protected against discrimination. And so if they try to roll that back, they'll also be out of compliance with the state, which is difficult. And, you know, the school board passed this, I think, not by a super wide margin.
It was a 3-4.
Okay.
So it was, you know, it was
relatively contentious. And there were, like, I mean, to pass it in the summertime is, like, you know, let's keep an eye on that, where, like, kids are not as involved. But they were also ignoring students, teachers, faculty. They had, like, over 90 people lined up for public comment. They cut it off after 30 people weighing in on it, and are moving forward with doing that. And, I mean, I think that there's a lot that we can delve into with even considering the Pride flag and the Black Lives Matter flag as political flags.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that one of either the teachers or administrators was characterizing. It's like, no, these are flags of, like, support and belonging and appreciation, especially for in a place like Newburg, where kids who are LGBTQ or who are Black, like, need that extra support in that kind of environment. Now, excuse me, one of the things about this is that it can't go into effect when school starts next month until the district superintendent checks with their lawyers.
Which they're going to tell them that you can't do this.
That is what I expect that they will do. Because this, as much as it is, like, you know, obviously, it seems to be very much, like, partisan, specifically calling out these two flags that you can't have at school for some reason. It's also an issue of free speech. And that's something that, like, in the student context has been protected and outlined by the Supreme Court. First in this Supreme Court case called Tinker versus Des Moines. And we have a little audio clip from the ACLU explaining that case to give you some primer on what types of, you know, political action and expression or non-political action and expression are protected for students and staff at school.
Hey, John, it's Mary Beth.
Hi, Mary Beth. Great to be here.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the armband case, Tinker v. Des Moines.
What an experience that's been.
Hasn't it been? Yes. We never really had any idea it would turn into this, did we?
No idea that this would become such an important ruling for students' rights.
That's right.
So we grew up in Des Moines, Iowa, where our father was a Methodist minister, and then we became Quakers. And so by 1965, I was 13 years old in 8th grade, and John was 15 years old in 10th grade.
And the war in Vietnam was developing steam at that point. People were starting to be killed, and a lot of us wanted to protest against the war. And someone mentioned that wearing black armbands was going to be one way that people would protest.
The principals in Des Moines heard about our plans through the high school newspaper at Roosevelt High School, and so they made a rule against armbands, saying that anyone who wore a black armband to school would be suspended.
That's right. Our dad said to me that he wasn't so sure that I should violate their decision.
So what did you say, John?
Well, I said, Dad, this is just a black piece of cloth, and people in Vietnam are dying. And Dad said to me, well, then for you, it's a matter of conscience. I said, I guess it is. And he said, well, then I support you. You had already left for school.
Yeah, I didn't know. I was really nervous and scared, but one of my favorite teachers was standing at the door with a pink pass to go to the office. And so I took the pass and I went down to the office and my heart was beating. And then I got there and Mr. Willitson, the vice principal, said, Mary Beth, that's against the rules, so take off your armband. So I looked at Mr. Willitson, I looked around the office, and in a great stand of courage, I said, okay, Mr. Willitson, I took off the armband. And the girl's advisor, Mrs. Tarman, said, now, Mary Beth, since you wore that armband and broke the rules, you are going to be suspended.
You know, when I wore my armband, I went to the cafeteria for lunch, and some kids came over and called me a coward and a communist.
We think there were maybe around 10 or a few less that wore the black armbands, but 5 were suspended.
And so we sought legal advice from the Iowa Civil Liberties Union lawyer, and he recommended that we sue the school board in the federal court for violating our First Amendment rights, and so that's what we did.
He really helped us kids feel like there was hope and that we were safe, because by this time, really mean people were coming around. Some people threw red paint at our house. Someone threw a brick through the window. And then one day, phone rang and the lady said, is this Mary Beth? And I said, yes. And she said, I'm going to kill you. And I couldn't believe that someone was so hateful just because we had spoken up for peace at Christmas time.
We took the case first to the federal district court in Des Moines, and we lost there. And so we appealed to the Supreme Court, and we won 7-2.
On February 24th, 1969, Supreme Court Justice Abe Fortas declared that neither students or teachers shed their constitutional rights to freedom of speech or expression at the schoolhouse gate.
And so that's become probably the most well-known phrase from our case.
I was so happy. And our mother went out and bought some ice cream and soda pop that night.
Yeah.
We found a way to deal with our grief, which was to take action. And it helped us a lot. It helped young people to be able to speak up and stand up when the Supreme Court said that they had a right to do that.
And that was a little explainer from ACLU talking about the case Tinker versus Des Moines. I want to give a quick shout out to my high school journalism teacher who did drill that case and the other case law of like student speech rights into my head. So hi, Mr. Smith. But yeah, so that's kind of like the where this, you know, explicit right for students and staff that they don't shed their constitutional rights at the schoolhouse gate. That's kind of like where it originated with Mary Beth and John Tinker wearing black armbands to school to protest the Vietnam War. And so, you know, thinking about this flag ban in the Newburgh School District and that they're going to have to check with their lawyers on that, that's kind of some of the primer that we're thinking about, that, you know, kids have a right to free speech and expression while they're in school as well. And there are, like, other cases that have come out since then that deal with, like, student publications or like lewd speech in mm-hmm. like in different settings that kind of put other parameters on that, but that definitely would not inhibit showing these kinds of flags. So, but then this is also our community call-in segment, so we would like to hear from folks. What are your thoughts on this ban in by the Newburgh School Board on the LGBTQ+ pride flag, the Black Lives Matter flag? And thinking about, like, what would this ban have meant to you when you were in high school? I know a lot of folks have stories about what was the kind of treatment that that your school was giving you while mm-hmm. you were in high school, and what were you working on? So we would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 503-231-8187. Little preface here, we're not litigating anybody's humanity in this discussion, so if that's what you're thinking about calling about, please don't. You will not make it on the air. But if you want to talk about the Newburgh school ban, what your thoughts are, and what it would have meant to you when you were in high school, please do call 503-231-8187.
I really enjoyed listening to that clip, but also, you know, like reading back about this, because yeah, this was, do you remember, it was something I had learned before. And in this one podcast that I listened to, Mary Beth was saying that when she got that letter that was threatening her life and like her father's life, she thought back to the kids that were killed by the Klan in 1963 in the Birmingham bombing. And she was like, well, this is you know, this is why we're doing this for, you know, and like they, you know, some, like some of them were bombed, some of them actually were murdered. So it was just like kind of, it really made me feel good to know how, even when, you know, I don't want to get into like death politics or anything, but like, it's like even, in order to have the strength to do something, you know, you really like get to know your history and where you come from and where the struggles come from. So this black armband is actually a callback to that in 63, and then they started, you know, they went on to kind of have a callback to that when protesting the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we would love to hear what your opinions is around this, but also like what this would have meant to you in high school, since there are a range of, you know, ages for listeners. And this is really, I'd really like to hear this and what people have to say around this. And again, like Althea said, not really here to discuss people's humanities and whether or not they deserve to live or their rights as humans. So please don't come calling in with that type of stuff. You won't make it on the air. And so what would this have meant for you in high school? What was your black armband moment?
Yeah, I think there were a couple of like, I don't know, like broadly political issues that we were dealing with. Obviously, like dress codes for girls is one that comes up for a lot of folks. And this was, I was in high school when gay marriage was legalized in Washington State. So that was also like part of that zeitgeist. But we do have a caller, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Appreciate being able to weigh in on this.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Well, as far as allowing, you know, a BLM flag or rainbow flags on public spaces, we have to be careful, you know, if we're going to use public property to allow as a venue or a platform for such expressions, because it means that if the if people who had, you know, alternative views that were deeply offensive, they would be allowed. For instance, you know, I would never advocate a swastika be flown on a public space, but, you know, and to make that comparison might sound onerous, but I would just ask listeners to visit ACLU's website and look at that essay, Speech on Campus. We, you know, we don't have an obligation to allow every opinion to be expressed on every public property. In terms of, you know, flying flags, I just wonder if, you know, there's a understanding of a consistencies that this would open the door to. I mean, you're okay with all manner of free speech. You know, hate speech is protected speech. You know, I don't think of BLM or Antifa symbols as hate speech, but there are people who do. And, you know, conversely, there are people who would find, you know, racist images or emblems or Confederate flags to be hateful, but those are equally protected by the First Amendment in terms of private expression. We're talking about public expressions and using public property. So, you know, I would just invite you to consider, you know, whether there's a consistency among the
Well, yeah, I take your point. Thank you, Steve, for calling in. And I think that is something that is something to think about. But specifically that they're calling out these two flags and, you know, vaguely political elsewhere. But what I will say is that there is types of speech that are not protected by the First Amendment. And that includes speech that incites violence or like imminent like breaking the law, true threats, things like that. And so there is like an ability for those types of things to be banned. So you brought up swastikas. There's other like hate symbols that the school district has banned from campus as well. But I think it's kind of like a false equivalency in a way.
Incredibly a false equivalence.
Yeah.
It doesn't even match up. You have, it doesn't even match up at all. I think maybe another point of view is to take yourself out of the equation, maybe, and see what it would be like to be in an area that is very homogeneous, and you're different. You're either visibly different, or you are different in some way that causes people to see you differently, treat you differently, and get physically harassed, attacked, or verbally attacked or harassed. And then you see a symbol that's supposed to invoke peace, unity, just make you feel like, yes, you belong here, and
people's
I'm making
right
a stand
to live. Yeah, versus the desire to have them not be alive.
Yes, exactly. So that's and then the other symbol that was mentioned is not that at all. I don't think anyone feels comfortable seeing that. It's and it's again not protected. It is not protected. Well, the same with the Confederate flag, which was
that's another one that the school district said is like a hate symbol and is not okay to have on campus. Sonia, you want to weigh in here?
Well, that's interesting. You mentioned it's a hate symbol and not okay to have on campus, and then also saying in the same document, in the same policy that's banning.
Yeah, the
Rainbow
one
flag and BLM. And
they're so like two separate policies. During last summer racial justice protests, they added certain hate symbols to like a list of things that you can't have on campus because, hey, public school is for everyone, and they have a policy that they're now trying to repeal called Every Student Belongs. But yes, kind of in that same vein, wanting to lump in pride flags and BLM flags
with acknowledged hate symbols.
I don't know that they're saying that they're hate symbols, but they're saying
Not out loud, they're not saying that.
Right, political displays are not going to be allowed. Which,
But when they call them all the same thing, mm-hmm. they're all just political displays. And yes, there is a load of case law about viewpoint-neutral policies and a viewpoint-neutral enforcement.
Yeah.
However, there's also case law, as you mentioned, with the there's specific kinds of speech, like calling for violence on particular categories of people.
Yelling fire in a movie theater, that's also not protected.
Yeah. And stochastic terrorism.
Mm.
And not all viewpoints or not all identities are equally in danger. And so mm-hmm. not all viewpoints require the same kind of official support.
Right, and that's kind of like another aspect of this, right? Is like, one, it's like very questionable under protection of freedom of speech and expression, but also that the things that they're banning are related to protected classes of people, people who faced discrimination in the past. And so that's like another level of, from a legal perspective, of like, are kids getting equal treatment at school, equal treatment under the law, 14th Amendment.
And that's what the Tinker versus Des Moines case, you know, like the argument that banning the armband is unconstitutional and violates the student right, you know, looking into it as the First Amendment, because it was a silent, it wasn't even necessarily a protest. It was more of an acknowledgement of the, like a memorial of the people in Vietnam. So it didn't violate or impose on anyone else's right, you know, or like existence. Whereas I think other things, there's like clear cut evidence that can show, you know, systemically, historically, like socially, political, moral, how it has affected disenfranchised groups. So and so it's like, it's, this is giving me like, oh, you're getting mad at me for like spitting at you for the last 300 years. Please stop. You know, it's like, oh, you're standing up for yourself and you actually have like some sort of like organized activism that you're doing. No, we're going to shut it down. And I did want to also mention that the next steps is to vote on the policy, like the anti-racism policy, as well as the mask mandate. So this is definitely like a beginning part of the beginning stages of something a tad bit larger. And I think this is an example of why parents got to show up at schools, you know, and like go to these meetings. And when a small minority, you know, has, it's like, this isn't, like, I think of this and I'm just like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, why would they want to, like, why would this happen when we saw, like, so many people marching in the streets last summer? So many. And even in the counter protests, there aren't that many people, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, the people are showing up. The people, and you see parents and you saw kids and you saw, like, young adults, you saw adults, you saw seniors and everything. People are showing up and showing and are for the people's liberation, you know? Mm-hmm. And yet,
yeah,
this, like, minority is somehow just manages to capture, seize these seats of power, mm-hmm. and just push this really, like, hateful, it's not even an agenda, it's just, like, a hateful point of view. It's like, just keep that to yourself. Let society progress. What's wrong with
you? Right, and, like, specifically, what is the harm that those, what's the reason that those flags are
They're in the example of why the phrase robbing children's innocence came up.
Oh Lord!
She's like, and again, they're gonna, you know, superintendent is gonna have to take this up with the lawyers, and they will most likely say this is unconstitutional.
I mean, yeah, I think that the lawyers will say that. If they don't say that, I think that students certainly have grounds to sue the school district.
Oh, they're gonna get paid. Gonna be a hot girl summer for everyone.
There'll be some damages, but who wants to go through that process when, you know, making such a major decision over the summer when school, like, students and parents are and teachers are, like, mm-hmm. less involved and all that kind of stuff.
With this definitely uptick of like cases going up, you know, mm-hmm. and mass mandates being reestablished. It's just a lot of, you know, it's not
and the wildfires and the heat waves
and the heat. I try to forget about it.
The people a break, you know? Anyway, if you want to call in with your thoughts, 503-231-8187. We're talking about the Newburgh School Board banning the LGBTQ pride flag and the Black Lives Matter flag. We want to know your thoughts. What would this ban have meant to you when you were in high school? So that's what we're talking about. Can I say one thing about, like, school boards?
Go for it.
Because I think it's, we talk a lot about, like, local politics here and the importance of local politics and making change on a local level. And school boards are really, like, much more critical to that than would maybe be assumed. And that, like, especially for, like, local politicians working their way up to, like, county level, mm-hmm. state level, stuff like that. Like, school boards are where people start out. School boards are where, you know, like, people who've never held public office before can get their start. And so, like, it's important to keep an eye on, like, what school boards have control over. And it's not, like, you know, it's not the same thing as, like, getting elected class president and saying that all of the water fountains should have soda in them, right, or whatever that kind of cliche thing is. It's, like, that's another level of politics that, like, impacts people that we need to be keeping an eye on.
I definitely agree about that. We do have a caller on the line, and that is Sue. How are you, Sue?
I'm good. Listening to this, I just want to tell people you need to vote in these small elections. The right wing has done a lot to organize, to get into our school boards, our county commissions. I live in Clackamas County, and it'd be BLM and...
I think she said fussing. We're good.
It's just everywhere. And as far as I'm concerned about, if I was in high school right now and that was my school, I would see that as a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was in high school during the Vietnam War. Yeah, I'm kind of old. And I sat down during the Pledge of Allegiance in assemblies and got sent to the vice principal's office. And there really wasn't anything she could do. But it's just, you know, it's like, but voting is really important. Know who the people are that are running, because they are organized. They're put on by different organizations that have very, very strong right-wing backgrounds. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you so much for that, Sue. Those are, you know, a really good point. Got to get involved voting. It's the one thing, the good thing we've got going on here.
Yeah, and Clackamas County Commission definitely has some. So there's, like, two different recall elections happening for people on the Clackamas County Commission. We have another caller, Warren. Hi, Warren.
Hello. I just wanted to mention real quick about a couple of things. First, you had asked if anybody had anything sort of similar happen. And when I was in high school back in 1981 in California, they banned people wearing shirts or any paraphernalia that had anything to do with marijuana on it. But they had no problem if you came in, and they said nothing about if you wore a shirt that had old number 7 whiskey Jack Daniels. It's like one of those kinds of things that, you know, we had some real serious alcoholics in school, which were horrible, terrifying people, you know, starting fights with people, throwing bottles through car windows when they drive by. Never saw anything like that happen with a person who smoked pot, you know. So I got to thinking about it, and I wonder, did they also ban somebody wearing an armband that might have a peace sign on it? And also, this whole Black Lives Matter thing was brought on basically by the treatment of police of black people. I think everybody knows that. So what are they going to say about, and this is also something Clark County Washington Sheriff's Department did, and they said no more blue lives, we'll say Blue Lives Matter flags, but the back the blue flag had to, decal had to come off of all their cars. And so I wonder, are they saying the same thing about that? Because I think it is making a statement if a person is going to be told they can't have a Black Lives Matter flag, but it's okay to come in with a flag that's back the blue. So yeah, that those are my thoughts, and I'm going to go ahead and try to take the answer off the air because this phone's not working very well for me.
No worries. Thank you, Warren. Those are good points.
Yeah, there's a really good point. Does it, you know, does it cut both ways? This is the, these are good questions, because what they, like, again, they have this vague thing of just political items, yet calling out the Black Lives Matter and the Pride flag, specifically calling those out. So it's, it leaves you to wonder a little bit, I think.
And I know that there's, like, other, you know, longstanding debates about, like, when public schools try to force uniforms on people, and that there's, like, I don't know, some fraught legality with that as well, in terms of, like, trying to control student expression of what they can and can't wear to school, whether that's a shirt that talks about marijuana or it's the Pride flag. Like, everything's political. That's my other thing, is, like, life is political. If you're, like, I don't know, I think that there's, where does the buck stop if we allow these, this ban to stand, essentially.
This is true. And I wanted to share, as people call in, again, the number is 503-231-8187 for the remaining few minutes that we have. We'd love to hear from you. I wanted to share my black armband thing in high school. What this would, the equivalent of what this would be for me in high school, which is definitely, like, well, I guess a little around high school, was the fall of the stock market, and that was kind of like a intense thing, because then Occupy came around.
Oh yeah,
and
people went to Occupy from my high school. Yeah.
And then of course when I was I guess like a freshman or something, it was like the war, the No Blood for Oil, and it just opened up a whole new world of possibilities and people and opinions and thoughts and, you know, like disciplines and everything. So it's, you know, getting political at a young age is something that is, I think, as, you know, someone who comes from a family of immigrants, it's, like, something that's so American, in my opinion, because where my family came from, you would be executed for, you know, having dissenting thoughts. And so, like, publicly, not, you know, like, because I guess you can make, you know, examples of the Western world, too, but having the you know, being able to walk outside freely, and to express my opinion is something that I think is very special. And the fact that it's protected, and there is a constitution, you know, with all of its problems and all of its foibles, and how we are trying so hard to push it to a place where it includes all of us. This, if we don't protest, then it won't happen. Like, we just can't, literally marching towards progression, you know?
Yeah. And Sonia, I want to ask you about this in just one second, but one thing I just wanted to point out about, you know, part of the ethos of public school, and you can gripe about this if you want to, but part of it is like the idea behind it. Why does it matter to send kids to school? Is so that they can participate in society. That's mm-hmm. what makes democracy work, is that you give people the ability to read and the ability to think critically so that they can participate in the decision making of the society. Now, if you want to get into whether or not that is like the execution in practice all the time, I'm willing to have that discussion. But I think that to say that politics don't belong in schools, or like kids can't have political thought or deal with hard topics, especially if we're talking about it like a high school age, I think that that's like naive and like underselling kids. And you know, at 17, 18 years old, you graduate high school, they cut you loose.
Right,
you know,
they're the
you gotta go make your own decisions, and you yeah. want to shelter people through that whole time. Sonia.
Oh, well, I wanted to come back to something Sue was talking about, like voting in these in local elections.
Mm.
And the thing is, you mentioned how they trying to pass this policy without, you know, before they've had any legal review by their own lawyers. And say, whether or not this is legal and can stand is really not the point. The point is to whip up a right-wing base.
Mm.
And so they're kind of flying their own flag in front of in front of voters, saying, this is what we're about. And then should this policy stand, then they're heroes.
Mm.
If it's struck down, then they're political martyrs.
Mm-hmm.
And it whips up the base, and they get to shout, they get to wrap themselves in this narrative of having been oppressed. You know, their yeah. views are being silenced.
Yeah, I think that that's a good point.
And then it further serves to undermine faith in the state and in the rule of law, and to justify vigilantes
mm.
and political violence, political street violence, as we're seeing right now in Salem and downtown, and we're going to see again next weekend when a whole bunch of fascists invade Portland again.
Mm.
And that's their announced plans, during which the notoriously violent PPV is suddenly... notoriously violent in suppressing street actions, is suddenly and conspicuously absent.
Very docile in these types of things. Yeah, I think that those are definitely worthy points and things.
Go ahead, yes.
Oh, no, please.
Oh, it's definitely part of, again, something larger, and it's not like this conspiratorial. Well, I can't even talk. It's the heat. It's something that is not, and it's not just kind of like, oh, this is just one person's opinion that's on the board, and they're kind of pushed it over and made this happen somehow. That magically, it's not. It's not. It is definitely part of this campaign that is coming from the right. That's the Save the Schools campaign, and it's aimed. It's basically like the anti-queers and blacks campaign. It's, you know, it's mm-hmm. like just so, and like obviously, so what I'm saying is that so this is the first step of it, and yeah, Sonia is 100% right, where there is a hint of like, you didn't check with your lawyers about this yet, you voted on it,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to like, and you're making a like, this is definitely like a thing of, I'm going to be a martyr for the cause, and look at me, look at what they're doing to us.
Yeah.
The next step of it is the every student belongs, which is basically the anti-racism policy that
mm-hmm.
was brought into the schools, and they're going to vote against or see if they can revoke that one. And then after that is the mask mandate. It's a beginning of a longer
mm-hmm.
chain of events.
Yeah.
That's
if they repeal Every Student Belongs, then they're out of compliance with the district and or with the state, I should say. And I don't totally know what happens after that, but like the state's going to come in and try to like reform that, because you can't like, or they're going to try to organize it at the state level. But yeah, I mean, I think that it is important, as Sonia acknowledged, that there is, that this is not like process working, even mm-hmm. though it was a majority that voted it in. If the concern was actually, hey, we're worried there's too much political stuff and like kids can't focus, You know, if that's your claim, make the case. You know what I mean? But when you only hear from a third of the people right. in the community who are impacted by it that wanted to comment on it, when you're doing it without understanding whether or not it's even legal for you to do it, I think that that does kind of like betray that this is something that is going to be rammed through regardless of whether or not it is the will of the people or what's best for the students and stuff like that.
And it's, again, like, I want to emphasize that part where it's the will of the people, because in a twisted way, I can see someone out there thinking, well, you know, like, there isn't a majority of, like, black people, indigenous people, you know, folks of color, and yet their quote-unquote agenda is being pushed. But that, I would like to just mention that there are people, the majority of the community, not just the BIPOC community, but the community as a whole, backs, you know, being able to provide for these communities that have been affected negatively by the, you know, system that we all have to endure and live within. And people aren't, like, it's not people aren't going against it. And again, it's most people, it is the an example of the people's will. Mm-hmm. And it is to uplift communities. And so to just go against it, I'm just like, what are you, like, who, what are you, like, it's like your neighbors want this. So why are you doing this to your own community? And yeah. you know, like you said, you just, I think we covered it pretty well on right. today's show on
how
why,
do you justify
what it, is.
It without being bigoted?
Yes. And it's not going to happen. We were talking earlier. It's like last night I was saying, it's like when you hear a baby laughing and then it's like, what, are you going to get angry that a baby is laughing
even
loudly?
Though it's loud, yeah.
It's loud, even though it's loud, it's a baby laughing, you know, mellow
take it
out.
Easy. Yeah.
Take it easy.
Sonia.
Well, kind of picking up on this is the will of the community, right? It's on the flip side of that, it's dangerous to, it's never a good idea to put the civil rights of a minority to a popular vote.
Right. That's the reason we have to have a constitution. But even so, you know, even if that was the case, then what we're saying is that they didn't listen to, like, from what we know, a majority of people did not, like, support that in the school district.
Mm-hmm. And the BIPOC caucus also vehemently, it was like, don't, yeah. no, we don't, this is so dangerous. What are you
so
doing?
Dangerous.
Like, our kids are being harassed. You know, parents of LGBTQ plus folks are, you know, it's terrifying. How would you... I don't know. It's like, as much as there's a hypocrisy and like the neoliberalism and like, you know, in this town and then in this state and just in this country, I do feel welcome when I see a BLM flag, you know, or like a sign or you know, like a pride flag or something, like or just anything that's like, you know, for the people or like mm-hmm. some sort of something that's like welcoming. Yeah. And it's just, it's safety, because that's not the experience that marginalized people have had in mm-hmm. this country. So if there's a simple thing that can do to change that, why not do it? You know, to even show other people, like, whatever nonsense you have, if it's bigoted, get that out of here. Take that racism 10 feet over there, you know?
Right.
So it's like, yeah, just something that comes to mind, something that makes me feel nice.
Yeah. We do have to wrap up. I just wanted to mention one thing because it came to mind. For public school, there it's not like there's an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't just like send your kids out of the district or send them to private school if like this is like perpetuated, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just, it's not like, well, if you don't like it, leave, for either party, really,
right?
Just that that's the way that we're structured. But anyway, we are coming right up on the end here.
Here
we want to thank you all so much for listening. This has been The Gap. We talked about Cuomo's resignation and about the Newburgh School Board. I'm getting tongue-tied. Banning the Pride flag and the Black Lives Matter flag. Thank you to everybody who called.
Yeah, really appreciate the conversation. Thank you all very much. Air Voices is up next. We'll be back next week. This is The Gap on KBOO Portland. See ya.
This has been The Gap on your community connection, KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for more of the Public Affairs Block on KBOO.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for